You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
Previously on the final days of Gotham.
Oh, Gotham, you crazy, crazy, crazy show.
Yes, who the hell am I? I just showed up and they said, yeah, you can stay.
He's like one of those guest stars on Gotham, which means he's gonna die via headshot. One guy was using a fucking, just long bow. Not even a compound bow. I saw it.
Okay, I don't know. Arrow showed up, man.
Condor King has his own fucking territory that is all fucking ketchup and mustard, like, related. Like,
fast food district?
You might say he even relishes in the violence.
Don't even... Oh my God. I knew he was going to go there.
And apparently there's this gang of British hoodlums that have cornered her in this building.
Dude, they came out of a 17th century London.
Hey, Arrow's a great... Hey, I know Arrow's had some bad seasons, but I like Arrow.
Oh my... Okay, we're about to come to break here.
I really hope Gotham picks up after this episode.
Oh, it's fitting we bring Alan back on for this episode of Gotham, because I feel like he's going to hate it. Oh, goodness. What was that? Something's wrong in there. Huh. I have some overacting stuck in my throat.
Are you a cast member on Gotham, Nick?
No, are you specifically one cast member on Gotham?
At least one member on Gotham.
I still love that.
I thought my interpretation was perfect.
Oh my God. Oh,
okay, I did it once. Now no one gets to do it. I jumped on the grenade. No one does it now.
I hate you for reminding me about that.
Oh, the good memories.
Unless Eartha Kitt rises from the grave and comes onto this podcast, is Eartha Kitt dead?
I don't know, actually.
That's a question for the audience, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up quickly, but we'll find out in a bit. But hey, everybody, it's episode 3 of Gotham's titled Penguin Our Hero, which, man, if this...
Truer words have never been spoken.
I don't know about that.
Exactly. This proves that this show, you know, really at some point just needs that Penguin show up somewhere in the episode.
Also, she died 11 years ago.
Called. We're good.
Okay. There we go. Well,
just had to point it out. So
this episode was directed by Rob Bailey, who's one of those like veteran TV directors. He's done stuff like, CSI New York and Criminal Minds, pretty much all the other crime shows on TV nowadays. So it's like, of course, for another crime show like Gotham, he would show up for that one.
Sure, that's what we're going to call it. Yeah,
sure. Well, whatever.
You know, think of crime. All these unrealistic crime shows.
Well, but I think the episodes... Oh, he directed that really great final episode of season 3, the Heavy Dirty Soul.
You'll have to remind me.
Yeah,
what happened?
The final episode of season 3 when Jim has to... When they fight the ninjas when Jim's on the virus.
Oh, you mean the one finale where the whole town goes crazy and they have to like survive the whole town of Gotham going crazy.
Yeah, that's never happened before. It
happens
show.
Every
never...
three episodes.
Yeah, so that was a really good episode, too. So it's like, hey, okay, so they brought him back because he's got some chops just looking at his resume here. And, I know Alan's the curmudgeon on this one, so he may just hate every episode until proven wrong, I guess.
I love how I'm pretty sure, like, we sound the same when we're talking about Gotham. It's just that, like, oh my God, that was amazingly stupid, wasn't it?
Versus stupidly amazing.
That was so stupid.
And I'm just like, no, that was stupid. You could have ended it there.
Wow, but Man, I just gotta say, whatever else I think about this episode, this was a huge improvement over last week. Am I wrong?
Well, Penguin showed up for a large amount of time, so it was amazing.
I mean, it's an improvement over our last episode. They focused on two stories, so that's good.
Well, it was three at first, and then they merged one of the storylines together, so...
No, yeah. I was definitely into it.
Yeah, no, so... I think just for the sake of Alan's sanity also, why don't we start with the, I guess, not the lesser of the ones of the storylines, Bruce and Selena's story. So, in this part of the episode, Bruce and Selena, in this part of the episode, anyways, so they're there in Haven, the only place where the sun shines in all of Gotham, apparently. Mm-hmm. And among the refugees, because now Selena... Oh, no, I forgot. The actual first scene of the storyline is Selena watching the previous season of Gotham in her dreams, apparently.
Yeah, basically. Just like, like, after the previously on, she gets her own previously on.
Previously on your life. But she's having nightmares. She wakes up like, oh, my gosh. And then she runs out of the room, and she happens to fasten to herself some, like, cat claws, apparently. Or was that – did she have that previously?
Dude, I don't fucking know. I thought I was losing my mind.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess – she found some sharp metal in the area. She's like, I'm just going to sew these onto my gloves quickly.
Dude, I'm watching the show. I close my eyes, and then she's in a suit with claws. I'm like – did I miss something?
Well,
like,
I love that the Gotham follows the same rule as the SpongeBob movie, which is like, welcome to the apocalypse, Mr. Squidward. I hope you like leather.
Well, they definitely did that last episode.
Because it's seriously fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
She somehow gets out of her hospital gown, is on top of the hospital in a leather outfit.
Really,
and I'm like,
quickly, I might
wait
add.
Wait a minute. Where the hell was that?
On a rack, just hanging out.
Yeah, so they're back. They go into Haven, and she tells Bruce, like, hey, we're getting all these refugees from the town. Maybe we should ask them, because we got people from all the different parts of the city, so we can see if Jerome's hiding anywhere. Because, mm-hmm. you know, she's a little pissed at him for breaking her spine. Yeah. So,
just a little. Also, nice to see a plot line that actually makes sense. Like, hey, these people might have new information, and then can move the plot forward.
Yeah, we actually.
Yeah.
We got someone in the right room, in the right space, in the right writing table. Keep them on.
Oh, yeah. So now we got, we find this one person in the back of the area that they talk to, and apparently he's like, oh, man, you don't want to go to the Dark Zone.
I audibly laughed when that fucking guy started speaking.
Oh, yeah. That dude was, like, way hamming it up, but it was kind of great. And then he's like, look what they did to Billy, or whatever his friend's name, and they pulled his shirt and it's just got kill written all over him.
It was a weird scene, too, because, like, he went and said, like, look at my... friend. And like he stuttered for a second.
Yeah,
like,
he stuttered. I
did
was like,
mean to do that? Or is that you didn't mean to say friend?
You're quote unquote about, like, friend.
They're not really friends, but he can't say that because he's basically dying.
Yeah, it's like brother, cousin.
I don't know
friend,
him. I just dragged him here.
And I just want the guy dying on the table to go, look, Jerry, we fucked the one time. Don't make it a thing.
I don't know, he's too busy dying of his infected wound, so I don't think he's saying anything.
Like, when you carve in a bunch of words onto their flesh, I think that's there's some bigger concerns than that. Yeah. But, yeah, so they're like, oh, yeah, you gotta go to the Dark Town, which apparently is the place where all the rich people were. So it's like, okay, I guess that place went even more insane because all the rich people were gone, so there was nothing left but people to just loot it. And while they're venturing out there, they find some dude just running down the street, and of course it's a trap because he's got a bomb with shrapnel strapped onto him, which was
that was
epic.
Awesome. I mean,
that's just a typical
this is
day
a great this is a great show, even though, like, it's like one of the first times I like that it was so ridiculous it didn't remind me of a suicide bomber. Like, it was just kind of like, well, that's Gotham, and I love watching people blow up.
And he blows up good, and then you find out it's the mutant gang who are hunting him down. So,
man, I love this.
I mean,
who is really, like, I never give a fuck about the mutant gang. Like, was anyone really excited for these weird guys wearing metal?
Okay,
I was
so,
at first, but I'm like, well, they won't. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's break this down. No, so the mutant gang is strictly from the Dark Knight Returns storyline in the comics. So they're a gang from the future, which is the only reason that they make sense with they have this gear on them and they look, they have visors, and that's how they look in the comic. So in Gotham, they're the crazies, I guess. And it's like, oh, you don't want to deal with the mutant gang that have mutated in the 3 months that Gotham has been in there,
because they seem pretty normal.
Some of them do have sharp teeth, and their outfits are questionable, to say the least.
There's only one person there that looks like a normal mutant. The rest of them just look like regular dudes.
Well, everyone else looks like, okay, I get the Schumacher gang and the gas mask guys and the leather, of course, Mad Max people.
The Mad Max-y guys.
That's pretty standard, but where did the cyberpunk people come in? Like, where did the reject cast of Blade Runner come
through? What you didn't know is that there was actually this Hot Topic right close to the rich part of town. It was weird. No one actually went there.
I love the big guy with the glove hands, because he looks like he's wearing Iron Man gloves. Like,
dude, I'm waiting for the electrocutioner to show up.
Between his obvious toy gauntlets and his random speech pattern, I really thought Selena was beating up a child with a pituitary issue.
some mentally challenged man or something like that. Just that's but they have a big fight, which was an okay fight.
That was okay.
Well, the problem is, it's very clear that the actors who play Bruce and Selena aren't trained fighters, because it's like, this is obviously where the stuntmen show up in these sequences.
They had to hide it behind all the shaky cam.
I do like that Selena's moving more like a cat now, that she does... Well, maybe she has cat powers. Oh, who knows?
Well, that's the thing, is they keep teasing, like,
cat
she's
powers?
Different now.
Like, if the thing gave her powers, why cat powers?
Because she's cat.
Why wouldn't it just... No, but we know that, but why wouldn't it just make her more like Poison Ivy? Why would a random plant give her cat abilities?
Because it unlocks your inner desires and
But why is that
darkness.
Cat related?
I don't know. Why did Fish Mooney become like a life stealer thingy?
And you wonder why I hate this fucking show.
Whose parents named them Fish to start with? Just
I
saying.
Thought it was a nickname or some shit.
It actually made a lot more sense when she was a pirate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yarr, I be Fish Mooney. The pirate. Scourge of the Shivan Sheesh.
Oh, my God.
Wow. But anyways, Selena proceeds to pretty much beat that main dude from the mutant gang to death, more or less.
Really easily, like, I might add.
Yeah, all she has to do is scratch him a whole bunch of times. But
Well, she did cut his back ankle, so.
Yeah.
Achilles tendon, so, it looked like.
Yeah.
I still stand by my words. That was really easy.
And unfortunately, his Hulk hands, like those Iron Man gauntlets, weren't like the ones from Triple X, and they don't actually make you strong.
Apparently, I love that movie's great.
Of course you
Alan,
think
I question that. More about you every time we record
with
you.
It's a terrible movie, but I enjoy the fuck out of it.
Okay, I'm on board with you again.
Like,
as long as you
great,
admit
I
that
just...
it's a terrible movie.
Oh, fuck
I love
yeah,
how
but I still have
my
fun
allegiance with Alan is as fickle as all allegiances in Gotham.
Yeah, pretty much.
Welcome
gonna,
to the last 2 years
I've
known Alan. But so that happens, and then he tells him, like, oh yeah, you gotta find Jeremiah over in this part of town. So they wander about to this building that apparently has been converted into a church, and apparently the cast of the Book of Mormon musical is there attending.
I almost texted you, I was like, yo, what's going on in the scene, man?
I thought they were the cult from True Blood for a minute. Like
what was that fucking movie? The Stanford Experiment? Not the Stanford Experiment. What was that fucking movie that was written or directed by James Gunn that came out recently?
Belko Experiment.
Belko Experiment. That's my first thought. I was like, are we just watching the Belko Experiment, like, right now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, because, they got this whole cult they're building, like, as a proper church with, like, ceremonies and that kind of stuff. And they got Echo, who's leading them, who pretty much more or less is now officially Harley Quinn.
And check this. Now, there's the painting of Jeremiah that's like a mural. I get that. That can be done. There's the stained glass windows in the back that also have Jeremiah on them. And
look,
I'm like,
man, they're Mormons.
Wait a second.
In this apocalyptic town, who had time to make stained glass?
What is that? Like, I have a lot of questions about the gas melter in this part of town. What is going on?
Gotham. I'm not putting anything past it when a random woman eats a plant and gets cat powers. The stained glass is really what's bugging you?
Yes.
And
it's not like the
same
thing
windows,
didn't bother me last episode.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, she has this whole thing like, only the worthy can go see Jeremiah, so if you feel that you're ready, ascend the stairs for the next stage of the test. Everyone else,
when really
get
she
out.
Means only the lucky.
Oh, I guess the lucky she calls them, but yeah.
I have a huge problem with that scene. So she basically says only the lucky, gets a bunch of people up there, but miraculously has a suitcase with exactly the amount she needs. And that includes Selena showing up, but she couldn't have possibly anticipated.
I don't know.
She had a thing in her ear. She told the guy in front of her, like, okay, so there's six guys instead. So you need that six
that's
revolvers.
Possible.
Six
that
revolvers, not. Six bullets. Okay, yeah, all right, and go.
Yeah, it's just
she
a does
not
show.
Seem that well adjusted. I think she just got super lucky and was hoping that a sixth person showed up.
I guess. But yeah, so she brings them up there, and you realize, oh, this is a ceremonial, like, ritual killing, where it's like, okay, we're going to give you the revolvers, you put a bullet in there, spin it around, and you'll get lucky, you know, the unlucky will die, but the lucky ones, they'll have no bullet in the chamber, kind of thing.
Which kind of reminded me of that one scene with Jerome in the second season.
That's exactly what I thought, too.
Which I was like, oh, that's cool, but then I'm like, wait a minute, Jeremiah was not there for that. Like, he wouldn't know that that was a thing.
If the audience was a visual representation of what was happening in that scene, just remember the end of Wanted.
Yeah, more or less. the
That's a decent
out.
Idea of what you're getting at with what happens in this episode.
Yeah, I'm but honestly, I don't remember any of Wanted.
But then the thing is that Selena avoids death because right at the last second, she sticks her fingers in between the hammer on the gun behind her.
And which I thought was pretty cool.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's some fast reflexes there.
Yeah, like a cat.
Also, I wonder if she pulled the trigger on the guy in front of her or not. Did anyone catch
it? No, that guy was alive. There's two people left alive?
Well, the guy was alive. No, but actually, she didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah. I think there's only three people who died in that little circle there. But anyways, yeah, she gets
which
the other people away.
Which statistically seems high, actually, considering the six
billion. Yeah.
Like,
well,
less
if Joker's
people
building
died.
An army,
yeah.
He doesn't want to get rid of everybody.
Jerome's kind of nuts. I don't think he cares.
Because out of the six, half the people die. That's not right percentage-wise. Must have been a shit time. But like, Jerome's like, damn it!
But no,
it's that one scene in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang of like, oh wait, there was like an 8% chance. Who taught you math?
But yeah, so they have a bit of a showdown, and I love how much the actress playing Echo is overacting like crazy as this character. The whole like, oh yeah, I actually did the test, and she shows the mark on her neck where the bullet is still lodged in her brain. Apparently,
dude, what is her accent?
Like, whatever the fuck she wants.
She's trying to do something between like a crazy person and a Harley Quinn accent. I don't know.
Like,
so Harley Quinn's
like,
accent, got it.
It's almost everything but a Boston like or New Jersey accent, like what Harley Quinn usually has. Like I saw she put y'all in there for a little bit. I was like, what?
She kept switching it up.
And I was like, I don't understand what's going on here at all.
Well, that whole entire thing was like, oh, only the lucky get in. But she wasn't lucky. She got shot. She just happened to live. So I guess
well, that's lucky.
I was saying that's pretty darn lucky.
Well,
yeah.
I think they said like the faithful or like they said they'd say faithful. But I'm like, well, all you're doing is just like pressing your luck. Like there's nothing really like, yeah, it takes faith to put your gun up to your head. But like, but wouldn't it be up to your own head and not somebody? You know what? Fuck it.
Whatever. I'm just worried. I'm like, why would Jeremiah start a church of all things?
I did like how she's like, oh, of course, Jeremiah's plans seem crazy to you. I was like, yeah, just me.
No Jeremiah one else.
That's the thing. Jeremiah seems way too like he's supposed to be, I guess, this version of the Joker, but he always seemed way too calm. Like, he doesn't seem like the kind of nuts. Like, this is something Jeremiah from the fucking, you know, the actual Joker, as I'm calling it. Like,
well,
that is nuts shit.
Maybe he's evolving more, you know?
Well, it's the idea they're trying to play with the three Joker theory, where it's like each Joker explains why the Joker has such personality changes between comics kind of thing. So it's like, okay, so this one's the anarchic one, this one's the calm, collected genius one, and this one's the other one, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but anyways, they have a fight. Bruce, you know, catches up with them, but, you know, Echo escapes up the elevator. And,
oh,
you know, it's like,
dude, can we talk about Bruce Wayne kicking ass in this episode?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because he's
I forgot.
He went up he went up the stairs and took those guys out and walked right back up the stairs in 2 seconds. I was like, oh, that was awesome.
Although I thought he was supposed to take, I figured he was going to be taking the mask off the guys when he did that to like kind of blend in. He was like, nah, not doing that.
Yeah, fuck it. He's invincible. He's a ninja.
Again, he's 6'5" or something like that. It's kind of hard
also,
for him to just blend
we
in.
Totally glossed over the grapple gun move.
Yes, I was going to say, I forgot to mention the grapple hook makes an appearance.
Because she's about to give the final blow on this mutant gang and he grapples her arm and I was like, I just got hard. Like that. That was a fucking Batman move. Like, that was
great. I'm actually
kind
of surprised. It's like, wait. We only harm the mentally handicapped. We don't kill them.
Yes.
We only beat the shit out of them until they're bleeding. So you're good there. We just don't go any further.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the gist of it. She, you know, Selina's gonna chase him, and Bruce is like, no, this won't get you any peace. It's like, shut up, Bruce, I'm gonna do what I want. I did it your way, now it's my way.
Oh, I love how she said, we did it your way, now we're doing it mine. I'm like, we've been doing it your way the whole time.
Yeah, he's basically calling
her
like a puppy dog.
It's not my fault, your way sucks.
No, because Selina wants to just murder every single fucking person. But I love how we glossed over the fucking.
She's been calling the shots ever since they got there.
Yeah,
like,
the only thing that Bruce has been doing is stopping her from murdering people, which does not actually hinder her plans.
No.
Yeah, so there's that. I mean, it was a decent thing. I will, though, I mean, I hate to agree with Alan on a few things, but this also still continues to prove it's like, Selena's actress is not the best actress on the show. Like, she really never has been. No, I mean, she's fine for just being an amateur. She's better than freaking the Ivy actress from the, you know, the second version of
Ivy.
That's
a low bar.
I know, exactly, but I'm like, yeah, this episode shows, like, when she's trying to be menacing, it's like, it's just not working.
Yeah, because when she first fucking meets up, it's like, well, if you're not with me or against me or whatever bullshit said, I'm like, I don't think you believe you right now.
Well, when you're picking a child actor, sometimes you get, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell what they're going to develop into. Selena didn't start off as the most complex character. Now she's trying to, now we're trying to, in the end game, and we're trying to do a lot of heavy lifting of her becoming the complex character that Catwoman actually is. And right. that takes a lot more oomph in your acting than the initial character really required. So
yeah.
Bruce luckily grew up into a pretty good actor. And was like grew into his character, and some
he
of the other
all right.
and some of the other characters like didn't, and they can't exactly replace Selena's actress like they did with Ivy and a couple other guys.
Oh no, it's Gotham. They could do some stupid bullshit.
Yeah, you're saying they could not magically age her up?
I think that what I'm saying is that her actress probably got a better deal.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny still, like the height difference between them, because while he grew really, really tall, she pretty much stayed the same height. So when she tries to kiss him, she has to get on her tippy toes to be able to reach him. That was
okay,
really
she's
funny.
A cat. This episode does not seem to. It wants to make sure the audience never forgets to the extent where she almost purrs. I'm not forgetting that. Like, how do we not talk about the almost purring?
I totally forgot about that, personally.
I will never forget that.
It was pretty bad.
Well, because the thing that caught most of my attention was the other two storylines that emerged together, which is Jim and Harvey back at Haven, and then Penguin, who starts off the episode with the most grandiose, over-the-top way possible.
The most penguin-y available.
Penguin, our hero.
He exits and gets a choir who sings to him while he walks down the stairway.
I really didn't think that that music was diegetic to the scene until like I saw the choir and I'm like, oh wow, how extra!
It's amazing.
Lord, he's like
Penguin.
He's like,
I've missed you. Never leave us again.
Penguin is just like Tony Montana near the end of Scarface, just nuts all the time.
That's pretty much how
I feel like you
portraying.
Said that like it was a negative, but
yeah,
what you said was awesome.
I swear to God, if I could hear fucking Penguin do his fucking man-child one more goddamn time, or scream, Gordon! I'm so fucking sick of it! It happens every episode!
Are you not tired of Penguin's pseudo-sexual man-crush screams at Gordon? I hate you, but I also kind of love you.
Or the fact that apparently his dog is named Edward now, so...
Wow, yeah, figure that out. That's an interesting relationship. I love how the dog betrays him, too.
Because of course it
the
does.
The rumors are the dog went willingly. Lies!
Because the whole thing with this is that Penguin is obviously just being drunk on his own power to the point that people are leaving in droves from City Hall to go join Haven. To the point where
all he's giving them are bullets and not food or sleep.
It reminded me of freaking Emperor's New Groove with Yzma, where it's just like, it's no consent of mine if you need... what was that again? Food? Ha! You should have thought of that before becoming a peasant!
yeah, pretty much, honestly.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of his people leave to the point there's, like, literally one maid who's helping him. But right
I'm pretty sure she's
seen
they're out of spite entirely, because she's like, oh, no, I want to be able to tell him everyone left, and then I'll leave.
She's been there before,
she drew the
though.
Last straw.
She was, like, in the previous seasons, though, wasn't she?
I think
was
so.
She the maid who was with the other family that he killed?
I don't think so. I think that family had a maid. Because was it Oswald's
maid? She was definitely
maid?
There when he had his realization about Ed, being in love with Ed.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. But, yeah, so she's there. And then also shortly before that, the street demons, who I thought we were done with at this point, just march right in and start shooting up the place and kill half the choir.
Man, I like the street demons. They seem to have a really nice, like, they have a really good sense of humor. And they seem to be really nice people. Because everyone we've ever met is just a really relaxed dude.
I guess so.
Because like because when he fucking tries to fucking break into it and shoot him, he's like, oh, we didn't get this far ahead. Yeah, you really didn't, huh? Did you?
I love that, where they're just like, so if I had killed your leader, I don't think I would have been subtle about that. I would have told you who I killed. And they're just like,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't think this through, did we?
I feel like Penguin is the only person in Gotham that he could say, if I did this, you would have known. Everyone believes him.
Oh absolutely. Yeah.
So, I like that also Riddler has killed how many of these people, like, to start this war. I never really thought of Riddler as a physical threat. Like, how is he managing to kill all these people?
I mean, he's murdered how many people now up to this point in the show?
Sure, but like,
usually through some contraptions.
Usually via traps or outsmarting them, right. But it looks like he out and route, like, defeated these guys in a gunfight, and that doesn't seem Riddler style at all.
The only thing I think of is that fucking thing I hate with smart people is as soon as you're super smart, you're invincible. So it's like, there'll probably be some sequence where he had a gun and he knew how to shoot everyone, like some fucking, you know, what's it called?
He's not Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes.
I bet you there's going to be a shootout in which he's just casually shooting people one shot. I would put money down on that.
If he's becoming this third personality that seems to be manifesting, maybe that's part of that. I don't know.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
Sorry. But yeah, so there's that, and then because people are leaving, Penguin's like, I'm gonna go over to Haven, I'm gonna kill everybody there. And it's like, or maybe we should just, you know, threaten them. Okay, fine. But yeah, so he manages to convince the one street demon who he tortured, and then is like, you know what? Yeah, we got on the wrong foot. You get your guys, we'll go over to Haven, and we'll take over the place. You guys can take charge, you know?
To be fair, he actually tried getting the other guy first, but that guy was already dead.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So, you know, Jim and Harvey and them have a big standoff because they arrive at Haven with all these guns. And the problem is...
Harvey is not there.
Nah, he has to go elsewhere.
Oh, right. Because Harvey, meanwhile, because they know it's like, Penguin's coming at the barrier and that stuff. So he runs out to get, what's her name? Barbara. Yeah. Which I love that sequence because Barbara's like, I bet you didn't see me sneak up on you. And, you know, having a bunch of threatening dialogue. And he's like, well, I heard that Penguin's coming here. Oh, why didn't you start with that? Come on, let's go.
That's a really
sorry,
good
the episode
point.
Came in 3 minutes short. Like, also, I love that she was like, "Hey, remember when you were the old cynic cop, and he was the blue eyed rookie?" And like, yeah, and you were saying, right? This show is crazy.
Oh man, but yeah. So Jim is holding down the fort while he's doing that, but then Penguin arrives, and they established earlier. It's like, yeah, we barely have any ammunition or food, so they have to do a whole big like. Oh, we gotta just pretend like we're well-armed. But that runs out pretty quickly, because Penguin just throws a bunch of people there, just like, hey, just soak up the bullets until they run out,
That went on longer than I thought. I did like that sequence, because at first, like, yeah, we're powerful. It's like, how many more bullets can they have? Bitch, I don't want to find out.
Right? I love that guy with the skull mask, who's just like, they have guns, I'm not gonna go out there.
Also, I don't mean to critique the Gotham PD, but they shot, like, I don't know, 8-10 times.
Yeah,
they
shot a couple of rounds.
And hit two guys.
There were guys with shotguns. What were you hitting? Where did the bullets go? There were people behind them.
Frank. The only thing I had left were those blanks we put in Simmons' guns as a joke.
Honestly, I wish they said that. I wish they said we only got blanks. Because that would make way more sense than them missing all those shots.
Yeah, so they run out of bullets conveniently at that point, and Penguin's like, okay, time to take over. So they lock up Jim again and throw him into the back of some storage area.
Oh, yeah.
Only for a minute afterwards, Penguin go like, okay, well, I'm in charge, right? And the street demons are like, no, we don't need you anymore. And they kill his accountant dude, which was kind of sad. I'm like, that poor guy.
Pen, oh no!
Well, I mean, I don't know what Penguin was thinking here, because like, you gave him your bullets. That's all you had for
leverage.
That was leverage.
Your leverage, dude. Like, that was it. I love Penn's last words, too, because what does he say?
Oh, he's like,
everyone hated you.
Everyone hated you.
Oh, my God. Like, that was a great last line, but then it goes to my thing of this is every single Penguin arc of he starts on the bottom, gets some bullshit to get him close to the top, falls to his hubris, everyone hates him because he rules through fear, and then he just loses it all. Like, it's a cyclical cycle. This exact same thing happened with, again, the woman we love to bring up, how he got his power with the fucking second Poison Ivy. He used her and got the exact same information from the big guy there. It's like, that's my problem with Penguin, is it's just this repetitive cycle of him losing everything and gaining it all back.
Well, see, apparently I don't disagree with Penguin's self-destructive cycle. I just find it very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, because like, I mean, I know
the actor.
Because you interviewed the actor, and he said that's his favorite thing to play is the Penguin trying to get up on the up on the ladder, right?
Well, yeah, like that's where I enjoy Penguin most too. The Penguin on the top, there's a reason he has to self-destruct. Well, one, it's a hubris thing, and two, the show is like, it's not interesting to write him just actually being very competent on the top. It's much more interesting to have him constantly scrapping for power. So we have to develop reasons for him to lose all his power all the time. Yes. Also, I love that we're in another arc where Penguin is like, Penguin saved us from the people he brought to kill us.
No. They just skipped a scene. Yeah. We missed a 3-minute scene. Oh, yeah. Jimmy said to everyone, just shout his name. Just shout his name.
Everyone, we're going to get out of this, but you're just going to have to chant Penguin's name when he kills two guys. Okay?
I know he's awful. He's awful. Yeah, we know
get
that.
It, we get it. No one likes him. Just do it. It's going to be okay.
It'll shut him up.
We're going to make great. Gotham great again. Yeah, whatever he says, we're good, okay?
Yeah. No, but I do love it, too, where Penguin was, like, threatening Jim before. They're just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to murder everyone you know. I'm going to destroy this place. The government doesn't care about us. And then literally a minute later, he just gets thrown in, locked up with him. Just like,
so that didn't go according to plan, huh?
Shut up.
Damn.
I love that shit. He's like, whatever, man.
Salty Jim. Jim, he never gets a chance to be salty because he's always the serious character. So any chance he gets to be really smarmy and kind of like, well, is it now how the tables have turned? I love that.
Yeah,
it's like,
but...
what? I don't get it. Why did they flock here to you? I provided security. It's like, well, it's a long way from you. It's like, oh, shut up, Jim.
Yeah, but
forgot
so they
how
have to
handsome
cooperate
you are
a bit
in
because
close quarters like this.
They have to cooperate a bit because they get the kid who showed up the last episode comes in and it's like, oh, he found, what was that again? It was like some like file, a nail file or something.
That's
like that.
Probably a bobby pin or some shit.
Something.
I thought it was part of the can, like the can opener or whatever.
Oh,
is that
right.
What it was?
I guess. I don't know.
Whatever. It was some MacGuffin.
Something that helps him unlock.
We forgot to mention that Jim totally gives him a can of peaches and like with his broken arm doesn't give him a can opener or help him open the can at all.
No,
I just wanted like the kid
no,
to go
it was
like
it was pineapple because the kid was allergic to pineapple.
Yeah. Thanks. Why didn't you just give me food inside a Rubik's Cube, ass? Like,
well, it's Gotham. He'll just use someone's fucking decapitated head as a fucking can opener. Like,
yeah. So that all happens. Like we said, Penguin helps save the day, and somehow because he shot two people, it's like Penguin's our hero. He's the best. But
yeah, I'm a hero
yes,
if I start a fire
what,
and then put
Justin,
it out.
Justin, we need to answer an important question.
Yes.
What about Edward? What about the dog?
The dog came back to him. So
murder solves everything.
And the world is right again. Ed and Penguin are back together.
Which was funny because the Riddler didn't show up at all this episode. Although, to be fair, at this point, I didn't miss him. So,
yeah.
I just love that, like, the dog respected his altruistic actions. Like,
that's not altruistic. That guy's out for his own bullshit. He ain't trying to help anyone out.
Yeah. No, but so that happens. They're kind of on good terms again, which... I believe either you, Nick, or somebody else point out the fact that every time Penguin kills somebody, he eats something. And sure enough, right when they get out in the building, he's just not nibbling on something else. Or it's like, yeah, he's going to murder a whole ton of people and get really fat by the end of this show.
This is going to be a conversation. I got to stop killing people. I got to lose the calories.
Yeah, I just keep going on this spree, and I got to lose these just...
it's bad for my thighs.
I got like swimsuit scenes that is coming up.
Murder diet. But yeah, so of course... at the worst time possible, Harvey arrives with Barbara and helps the situation. And
dude, it took them so long to get there.
Again, how big is Gotham?
Yeah, what the fuck were they doing that whole time? That kind of bothered me.
Guys, like... you are way too late. Like, I love how Gotham is like, everyone can get to the same fucking place where the helicopter is shot down in less than 10 minutes, but it takes Harvey and Barbara the better part of a day to get to the sirens calling back.
I mean, to be fair, they didn't have a car, I guess, but whatever.
Why?
Wait, how would that make
cars?
It longer?
I don't know. I mean, the fact, too, apparently they jumped a week in between this episode and last episode just because, so. But the whole point being, yeah, Barbara's about to shoot Penguin and Jim's standing in front of her. It's like, oh, don't make me shoot you, too. And then right when that happens, the buildings blow up behind them. And you're just like...
all of them in the most horrible fashion.
Jesus.
That's a funny thing where it's like, Jim's just like, hey, today was a rough day. It's going to get better. Don't worry about it. And then, like, I'm sure a good chunk of those people just got killed in that giant explosion. Yeah.
That was a dark even for Gotham. Like, that,
yeah,
I was, like,
that was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think Gotham could get any darker than that, but then they fucking blow up a room full of people.
Also, yeah. I get that Jim was, you know, like, well, Penguin helped me out. We kind of have a shaky alliance, so we can, you know, I can let him go or whatever. But jumping in front of a bullet for him?
How many times does Jim have to be stung before he lets the scorpion go? Seriously?
I don't know. How many episodes we got of this season left?
9. There we go. Yeah, so that happens, and that's the big cliffhanger that ends the episode. So it's like, so here's my question. Who blew up the buildings?
Bane. Well, we haven't seen Bane yet. Yeah. Jeremiah's always a point on the board.
Explosive is Jeremiah's like calling card lately. So
yeah. It's hard because we didn't get. Did anyone see a missile or anything that hit the building?
No, it was an explosion. Inside.
It was a bomb. Yeah, it was a bomb inside. So
there's someone. Someone threw a refugee inside and either unwittingly had a bomb or something.
Dude,
that was on multiple floors. I feel like the whole building was rigged.
Yeah.
Well, when you have that many people in the refugee thing, it like what Travis was saying when we watched it, when Penguin mounted an assault on the. Mm-hmm. On the green zone,
yeah.
Travis was like, "Oh, that's way too much work. The easiest thing to do would be send an infiltrator unit."
Yeah, because they're taking everyone. So yeah. You just easily send someone to do something.
And honestly, they wouldn't be able to check everybody. Like, yeah, it would be way easier to do that. So you figure Bane is either using a bunch of his military tactics to like divide and conquer and do that sort of thing. Otherwise, like all the regular culprits, like Barbara, Penguin, them are there,
right? And it's like Ed's not there, but it's not really his MO.
Maybe unless it's Ed's new personality, but I kind of doubt that too. So I'd say that the most likely candidate is Bane, with a secondary being Jeremiah, and maybe a brand new character that they've made up for the show, but I doubt it.
Why not? Because they seem to not be worried about introducing just random people to show up and then get killed off in the same episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I want to say it's Jeremiah, because Bane doesn't seem like... If we're taking the comic Bane before he goes on the crazy Venom bullshit,
well,
like,
he's generally not...
He doesn't kill civilians, generally.
If we're talking about infiltrating the refugees and sending someone in there to suicide bomb, it would sound like one of Jeremiah's crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were multiple explosions over the course of the entire building. I think it was rigged. Because at this point, you would notice the suicide bomb. I mean, shit, it's Gotham. They're not really subtle about it. They have some old guy fucking duct taped up with a fucking with a nail bomb.
You'd figure the episode would have clued us in on it, because we got to see Jeremiah's followers. They would have showed us someone in a tie or something to clue us in, though.
Yeah.
You know, figure.
Who knows? But yeah, that's the gist of the plot summation. Yeah. So, because next week's episode is called Ruin. And they actually do have a synopsis here. So apparently, it looks like we will see Enigma show up with the rest of the group in Haven, based on the synopsis idea. And then, of course, we saw in the preview for next week's episode that there probably will be an appearance by Jeremiah finally this next episode. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Right. Cool.
No, so, I mean, was there any other major points on what happened in the episode that we missed or anything else you guys wanted to address or...
Well, we didn't actually address the whole "I hate having a gun pointed at me." I'm sorry.
And
stop reminding me.
Even for me, I was having fun with Selena's new, like, she's flipping over cars and being more cat-like or whatever. I was like, this is kind of fun. But even that was, like, even for me, I was kind of like, okay, ease it back a little bit.
Like, did you have to?
We're taking this a little farther than I think we need to.
She's a cat. Get it? A cat.
Like, I get it. Like, we're paying tribute to the, you know, the 60s show. I get it, but, like, maybe
you can't
pull
it off, don't do it.
Maybe we just, we save that for another day. Like, just...
This is also, Gotham. It doesn't matter if they can't pull it off. They'll fucking try.
Yeah, true.
Also, I love that they made a big point in the marketing. Like, we're going to have the mutant gang guys for, like, one scene, and they're going to be barely important.
Yep.
They're going to be forgettable.
Well, because, I mean, I remember they said that, like, oh, yeah, Magpie's going to show up and this other character. And I'm like, I'm sure they're just going to show up and get shot in the face immediately at this point. So.
Pretty much what happened.
But then again, the mutant gang was never interesting, even in the Dark Knight comic or whatever.
And yet everyone remembers them, because they're the only, they're like one of those iconic, quote-unquote, parts of it.
They're just one of the weirder things, because the first half of the Dark Knight Rises is fine.
Because they're visually distinctive.
Yeah.
They had an interesting look. That's why people remember them.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but I'll say as far as, like, funny thing is even though that some of the fight choreography on the street was bad, when, I guess, Harley Quinn Light and Pussycat Doll are going at it... That's actually not a bad fight sequence.
Yeah,
like
they go
blow to blow for like maybe 10 seconds. Like, this is not bad. They can.
Well, I love
do
that Harley's flipping around too, because Harley's got the Joker kung fu. Like, I don't understand how Harley, like, gets good at, like, martial arts.
Yeah, who cares?
She got shot in the head, so...
Her Echo was good at martial arts before when she was when Jeremiah's assistant, right?
She was a bodyguard.
Yeah, she was, like, a bodyguard or whatever. So...
Well, that scene was obviously well choreographed because they didn't do the whole shaky cam bullshit. They actually, like, practiced that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, the gunplay sequences weren't too bad this time either. Because I remember that was the thing I complained about last episode where that gunfight they had with the soothsayers was just so piss poor. And this one's like, okay, we can actually see everything that was happening in these gunfights. Yeah. So,
yeah, it was better than usual.
Yeah, yeah. So, wow, a begrudging admittance of quality from Alan on this one.
Hey, there are some good. If you put a fight scene in an episode, I'll enjoy it, but also heavily criticize it. Like when the show just forgets Batman can fight and only pops in whenever he feels like it.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, this was I thought this was a solid episode. After the last one, I'm like, hey, anything is an improvement at this point. So, yeah, that's about all I got to say about this one. So, tune in next week, guys. We got episode 4. Alan, where can they find you on the internet?
Yeah, so you can find me if you go to Facebook and type in at Midnight Chat Attack. That's one word. Once you see the big orange logo, you'll know that's where you'll usually find me. Yelling belligerently about random news topics, so be sure to check that out. All the information is there to check out me on the other stuff, Twitch, on all that jazz.
Awesome. And then Nick and Travis?
Well, you'll find me struggling to open up pineapple cans with one arm, but
and me holding on a can opener.
Told you I don't need help. Do it myself. And where am I doing it myself? Well, I'm doing it at Nick Tice, T-H-Y-E-S, on Facebook and Twitter. Also, check us out on our podcast projects, including the UGO, or Unapologetic Geek Out podcast, Pod Against Evil, our Stand Against Evil podcast, and our movie review podcast, Netflix and Kill, all available on iTunes, Stitcher, and basically everywhere where podcasts are available.
Awesomeness. And I am doing this all myself. I edit this entire podcast, and you can find me doing everything myself here at oneofus.net. I do the Eye on the Prize, which we'll have a new episode of that this weekend. We do the Screener Squad, which 3 new reviews came out this week for that, and 2 more to come up Monday. Gosh, it's going to be a busy weekend. but then, you can find us there. We got the Breakfast Pub coming up this weekend, and we got this episode coming up. But you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitch, and that's the gist of it. And... I think that's everything. So I think I hear the rain coming for our usual outro here. But thank you all very much for listening, and tune in next week, Gothamites.
I hear the cat puns coming.